Well, we have a guest speaker this morning, and I'm really excited to introduce her. Her name is Maureen Spell, her husband, David. They have together six amazing children. Maureen is a teacher at heart, and so she uses her gift at home and really in our church, and has an amazing online network and presence, all kinds of creative things there. Maureen has raised already a set of preschoolers and is now raising another set of preschoolers, and so her heart is really to be an encouragement to young moms, and she's also been an amazing, you know, leader and volunteer in our children's ministry, and so all kinds of things there. But would you just join me and let's put our hands together and give Maureen a warm Commonway welcome.
Thank you. I can't tell you how relieved I was that Matt already lifted up this stand, because that was a concern of mine. I'm short, but it was down low. I don't know if any of you do this. It might just be me, but sometimes when I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading the stories of old and reading what some people do, I kind of like get some thoughts in my head. For instance, Jonah. God tells him to go, and he gets on a boat and goes the other direction, and I think in my head, that was really stupid. Like, you can outrun God. Come on, if I were in that situation, there's no way I would do that. Or Moses. He sees a burning bush. It's not even consumed. He hears God's audible voice, and that he still has the audacity to say, "Hey, God, I'm not the man. Find someone else. I can't speak. Find someone else." And I think, yeah, hey, come on, Moses. You saw all those wonders. There's no way I would ever do that. No way. Until this Sunday. I totally relate to Jonah. I totally relate to Moses. God, you want me to speak at church? I think I should be on a cruise instead. Are you sure you want me to speak? Surely there's someone more talented with more experience than I. And if this were available, I would have called the substitute speaker hotline today. I really would. I would have. So now that I'm in the hot seat, I totally relate to Jonah and Moses. I thought some of the same things that they did. I did not do any better. My prayer for today is that you only remember the words that are God's words and nothing else. So that is my prayer. This past fall, I spoke at our local MOPS group, Mother of Preschool Students, on the topic of children and well-ordered days. Yes, they don't seem to mix, do they? Children in well-ordered days, do they? This is an example of one of my well-ordered days. This happens to be flour. She's done it probably with every other baking material as well. That's an example of well-ordered days. Or, you know, little marker here, little marker there. I heard a quote from a Christian referee that stood out to me this year. He talked about how his job in the middle of possible volatile sports interaction was not to join the chaos, but to dissipate it, make peace with both sides, and provide a resolution. And when I heard that, something clicked in me. I thought, you know what? That's exactly what I do. I am constantly trying to referee chaos, arguments, different things. That's my job. And I'm going to try to be really talented with this and multitask at the same time. I'm not quite used to it. Matt makes it look so simple. He said, absorb the chaos, create calm, and provide hope. And God just really pointed that out to me, that that was my job. And it's not just a job for mothers. I mean, think about it. That's a job for Christians. We live in a very chaotic world. We need to absorb the chaos. Our world is looking for some stability, some calm, and we need to provide hope. Back to organized days, children, chaos. This is another example of what can happen at my house at any given day. This actually happened within the last week and a half. This is my three-year-old, and she has jelly all over her hands. Yes. Somehow she was making her own sandwich, which I'm fine with that. I'm fine, you know, little independent skills, that's fine. But she got a little sidetracked. She spilled some jelly. It felt good on her hands. I think she must have thought, I wonder what more jelly would feel like. I really don't know what's going on in her mind. So she put more jelly in her hands, started smushing it all in between her fingers. When I saw her, and, you know, men, you might not believe that this can happen in a woman's mind, but I thought about 50 different things in 1 second, in one split second. I thought, this is a mess. This is a sticky mess. I don't have time to deal with a mess. This is a mess that attracts bugs and ants. I don't have time to deal with bugs and ants. This is a big mess. And once again, I don't have time. All that in 1 second. And then I have 1 second after that to decide what my mouth is going to say. Am I going to scold? Am I going to lose it? Am I going to answer calmly? Moms, you will find that at least one of your children is wired differently than you. You might find that more than one of them is. I don't know. These children are not chaos. These children aren't chaos. They were made in the image of the Creator. They are not chaos. But you know what? God uses them as instruments to refine us to be more like Him. God has shown me that this particular child of mine explores and investigates her surroundings in a very sensory way. I do not understand it. There's bowl milk, she'll have her hands in it. There's pudding, she'll be doing the same thing in there. I just don't understand how she's wired. But God has given her that desire, that need, that sensory need to touch and feel things. And yes, it creates messes, quite a few of them. I could have done a whole photo collage of just this one child and her messes. I mean, that's how many she has. But it's a gift. I'm really looking forward to seeing how God uses that in her life in the future, because, I mean, I'm just really interested. But God told me before, and if He wouldn't have told me that, I wouldn't necessarily be as calm with her as I am now. I wasn't. It's almost like God gave me time to prepare, time to be able to understand that my kids are different, and I need to treat them how God's created them to be. They have different talents and different gifts. When this happened, by the grace of God, I was able to keep my cool. Matter of factly tell her, wash your hands. You know, I'd appreciate if you didn't play with your food. If you have the need, once again, to smush stuff in between your fingers, you know, let's try Play-Doh or something. So I was able to deal with it calmly. And I tell you, you know what? That is not my natural reaction. It's not very natural for me to just do that. And so I was able to absorb the chaos and not join it. And this was a victory because, you know, I don't think that way. This is the second part of the first marker story. So this is, once again, the three-year-old. And she has marker on her face, obviously. But God's been working with me and reminding me to take in the whole situation before opening my mouth. I came across my two daughters, my one-year-old and my three-year-old, with marker all over their faces. And right when I found out, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, wait, hold back your mom judgment for a minute. Observe the situation that's going on. See what's really going on. And then I saw that my three-year-old and my one-year-old were actually playing together. The three-year-old had convinced the one-year-old to be a kitty. And so she had drawn whiskers on him. And you know what? Really, that's pretty intelligent. I was pretty impressed. But the thing is, I had been praying that my girls would get along. I had been praying that they would be friends. And here they were doing that. They were doing that. And I could have lost that moment if I just looked at the mess they were making. Marker rubs off. It will wash off. But to see that they were actually getting along and enjoying each other, I mean, that just really touched my heart. And God spoke to me, you need to absorb the chaos, not join it. And by joining it, I mean, you know, sometimes moms, we just kind of go off the cuff a little or just get irritated because it's a bigger mess for us to deal with. So God's been working with me, and I still mess up a lot. In fact, this frustrates me that I can have victory one minute and mess up again in the next. And when I reflected on this quote, I'm not quite sure if I put it back up here, absorb the chaos, create calm, and provide hope, I felt like God said something else to me this time. I felt like he was saying, Maureen, I'm here to absorb your chaos. I'm here to create calm in you and to provide hope. And once you let me do that, then you'll be able to do that for your family. And really, that's not just for moms, that's anyone. If we need to let God take care of the chaos in our soul, let him create a peace that passes all understanding in our hearts, and then we can give hope to the hurting world, then we can give hope to our families, only then. And what chaos, might you ask, that I've been dealing with? As a mom, there's been many times in my life when I've believed several lies. And these are lies that society speaks. And these lies made me question being a mother. They made me not content. They made me almost indifferent at times at the thought of being a mother. I was starting to just be a mother survivor, just barely getting by and not thriving. And once I started recognizing that these were lies and turning it over to the Lord, then I had hope. Then I had joy. And then I felt like I wasn't just surviving my job, that I can actually thrive. So I'm going to go over three lies today, and there's a bunch more, but I don't have enough time, and really three is all I could come up with at this moment. The first lie, motherhood is temporary. Once your kids are grown, you can really live your life. I mean, we've heard that before. Oh, wait, and, you know, I can't do what I want to do now because I got kids, or you know, they're just, they hamper my style. I can't. We think that way. This lie subtly creeps into our mind, and usually it takes root when things are tough. The baby hasn't slept for 5 months straight. The two-year-old woke up in the morning playing with the contents in their diaper. You didn't have any milk, and you had no wet wipes left. I mean, it starts to wear on you, and wears on you over time, that you're tired, and you start to believe that if they just get potty trained, my life's going to get better. You start to think that. I mean, I did. Or when my kids get back into school, then everything will be all right. Or when my teen finally leaves the house, all will be well with my world. And we start to think of the future being the answer to our struggles right now. The problem is the future, once we get to that point in the future that we thought would solve our problems, we find out that we look back and we miss the time and the opportunities that we had back then. When we think that motherhood's temporary, we lose our joy. We lose our joy in the moment. We lose the joy, and it steals opportunity of being intentional with our children at that stage in their life. I mean, if you're discontent, if you think that if they just change, if they just grow out of this, everything's going to be better, if you're discontent, it's really hard to focus on a strategy with your child. It's very hard to focus on doing something exciting and have joy. You kind of just struggle through, and your kid can feel it. I've done this. I've kind of wished my way through some periods of my children's lives. And then later I have some regrets. I just really do. It places a seed of discontentment in our heart, and we miss the blessing of our time now, and we miss the beauty of each individual stage. Motherhood is not temporary. It's eternal. In fact, being a mother is not just a job we do. It's not a hat we wear. It's a mission, and it's part of God's plan. There's a wonderful lady named Sally Clarkston, and she has such a heart for moms, and she has a wonderful ministry. And she says this, motherhood was in the heart of God at creation, is affirmed through Scripture, and is a critical and strategic part of God's design for the family. Whether you're a mom now, a mom-to-be, a mother figure, Satan knows that we have influence. He knows it. He wants to dull our vision. He wants us to think that the mound of laundry that we're folding, the shoes that we tie over and over and over again, the messes we clean up, the soccer practices we sit through to cheer our children on don't matter. He wants us to think that once this stage is over, then we can do great things. Or sometimes he even lets us think that once the stage is over, then we can do great things for God. And we believe that lie. And I can't stand that lie because it robs us of the intentionality that we can be, that of things that we can be doing for Christ with our children now. And he knows it. And he knows that if he can dull our vision, we're not going to know what our goal is, are we? We're not going to know it. Proverbs 29:18 says, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." Or, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." So, having this chaos in my heart, believing these lies, makes me discontented with motherhood, dulls my vision. What in the world am I supposed to be doing? Helps me not be strategic with my family, with my kids, teaching them, preparing them the way they need to go. I've learned that every age has different trials and different blessings. I have to be willing to walk through the hard stuff in order to see the beauty. And I have to cling to the vision that God has given mothers to teach their children about him and to train them in their way, in his ways. I mean, that's our ultimate goal. Teach our children about him and train them in his ways. Now, lie number two is what I call the Superman syndrome. In order to be a good mom, I have to do blank and blank and blank. You know, you can fill in the blank. I have to let my kids be in five activities, have a clean house, feed my kids organic food every day. I mean, you name it. We have a lot of preconceived ideas of what a good mom should do. And yet, we can't do that all. That's not what mothers are. Motherhood is not based on what we do. It's not a checklist to be checked off. It's not specific things that make us a good mother. How many people have heard of Pinterest? Okay, yeah, I love Pinterest, okay? It is like an awesome visual bookmarking site. You can find, if you want to know how to make a bag out of Capri Sun wrappers, you can just go find out and get about 50 tutorials. If you want to know how to make the best birthday cake, just type that in. You get all these different examples. There's this fire truck here. There's like this 7-layer Hello Kitty rainbow cake. Hello. There's this candy birthday cake. I mean, you see all these like awesome creations when you're on Pinterest. And I kind of lose time sometimes and don't realize, oh, it's been an hour. Oh, no. The thing is, on Pinterest, you can pick a thing. Like, say, this cream-filled confetti cupcake looks awesome, looks yummy, looks... That mom must have been really cool if they made that for their kid. Really. And you can click on the recipe and whatever. In the world with Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, we have easy access to information, but it often just shows a sliver of truth. It shows a sliver of real life. I mean, I know I'm a blogger. A lot of my stuff's on Pinterest. It looks like I'm doing these awesome activities, which I am, but right next to it is a bunch of chaos and 20 loads of dirty laundry. But I'm only showing you what I want you to see. You know, the nice little nature journal or whatever. I'm not giving you the full picture. This is Pinterest real life. Yep, there's some chaos going on. Hey, mom, hey, mom, hey, mom, mom, mom. There's dirty dishes. There's some ho-hum stuff. I mean, there is real life going beyond those pictures. But when we see those things, we kind of fill in the blank like, oh, they did the Hello Kitty party. They had themed games. They had themed decoration. Ugh, I can barely get my bathroom company clean and the dishes washed. I'm a lame mom. And you start to compare on these images that we see, and you're like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing it all, or this is real life. And FYI, I did not make that cupcake. I bought it from Kincannon's. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his heart, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know what? We can be doing a bunch of really good stuff. I can have an immaculate house, meals on my table, kids with matching socks, which, by the way, most of those I just said I don't do. And then I could still be discontent in my heart. Those things don't make me a good mother. Those things aren't teaching my children about Jesus. Those things don't guarantee that everything's going to be all right and I've gotten my gold star for motherhood for the day. And see, then we start getting discouraged because, wait, I didn't check off my list of stuff to do today. Oh, I'm comparing myself to that mom. She has it all together. I can tell she has it all together. And you know what? This generation has a different struggle because I can still remember when really we weren't on the internet. I can't believe I'm saying that. But we would just compare at, you know, church, or soccer, or you can compare moms. Oh, that mom has it all together. But you know what? With just a click of the button, you can compare yourself to anyone around the world. And you got to realize that's a danger. If you're comparing yourself to someone, you're looking this way. But where should we be looking? We should be looking at Christ. He's the one who's going to give us the gold star. And it's not something we earn. That's the thing. It's not what we do. It's not what we've accomplished that makes us a good mother. It's our heart. It's our heart towards this job. What's our heart? Is our heart calm? Do we give our chaos over to him? Do we have hope? Or are we still kind of floundering and not feeling like we're good enough? God has equipped you for this job. You might not always know what in the world to do. I mean, I don't know half the time what to do. I'm like, God, what do I do? But that's the dialogue. My eyes are there. God, I don't know what to do with this child. What do I do? And you know what? He'll tell me. Sometimes it's not right when I want to know, right then. Sometimes it's something that I'm doing, and he's telling me, you know what? You've got to change. You're the one that's really the problem here, not your child. And my eyes are focused on him, not on what this family's doing, what this mom's doing, what they're doing on the internet. And so those things, it's just, I don't know, I just feel it's just really hard for this generation when it's just everything so instant. Everything's so instant. And this is a big lie that when we compare ourselves, whether you're mom or not, you compare yourself if you're a businessman, a school kid. Just when we compare, our eyes are off of Jesus. We are discontented in what we have. We're discontented in where we are. And we lose our vision. We lose our vision. The third lie is I can do this on my own. Now, I have a hard time letting people know when I need help. That's my personality. Just have a hard time letting people know when I need help. And we think if others know of our need, they'll think we're failures. I mean, we hate to be vulnerable sometimes. We really do. Moms, we need each other. Husbands, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, we need you. And motherhood was designed to work in the context of family. I feel very privileged to have a godly mother in my life. And I know that my mom's praying for my children, not just, you know, token prayers, but she's doing warfare prayer for my children. And that brings me a lot of comfort because I don't feel like I'm in this alone. I mean, it's a job that sometimes weighs heavily on my heart. It really does. And I know that my mom will be praying for me and my family. I know that not everyone has that type of support system in their life. If you don't, seek it out. Pray that God will bring people into your life who will stand in the gap for you and your family. A couple years ago, there was a group of five women and I, and we started a prayer group. And each month, we mailed out a list of prayer requests and praises that we had for each one of our children and for ourselves. And then this was compiled into a master list, and you can see that we had it by day, and we had it so you really didn't know who exactly you're praying for, and we did that on purpose. But I can't tell you how much that meant to me, to feel like I wasn't in this alone, that I had someone else covering my back, that I had other people willing to invest in my children and eternally. This meant so much to me. I've been singing this song, and it's a verse in the Bible. It said, "Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob." And my heart is for this generation and this generation that we're raising up, that they will seek the face of God. We can use a godly generation. It doesn't just happen. Moms, adults, you have influence now, all the way from the little children to your 55-year-old son who's not following the Lord. Their story's not done yet. Their story's not done. We need a generation that seeks the face of God. And that's done by being an example. It's done by being intentional with our children. And you know what? These lies make me mad, because that's what Satan's trying to use to dull our vision, to make us ineffective. He wants to make us ineffective. Moms, you have influence. Sunday school teachers, you have influence. Dads, you have influence. We need a generation that seeks his face. And you know what? Satan knows that. Satan knows that. And he's put discouragement in our hearts. Not only that, he's made it so, you know what, we're just moms. I'm just a mom. And we start to believe that. I'm just a mom. No, you're not just a mom. You're someone who has the potential to raise a warrior for Christ. You have the potential not to just raise a warrior, but you have someone who might be influencing nations, might be even influencing our nations. And so my heart is just that we start opening our eyes, not believing these lies, giving them over to God. Because when we believe these lies, my heart is not calm. I'm chaotic inside. I do not handle things well at all. And you can't influence your sphere of your realm of influence if you are just all eaten up inside. You have to give it over to God. You have to. And let him create that calm, that peace in your soul. And then and only then can you reflect the hope that Jesus is giving you to a hurting world. Only then can you calm the chaos in your family. Only then do you have the strength to deal with one more mess, because you're seeing it in a different perspective. It's not just one more mess. It's diligence. It's training. Your kid throwing another fit. That's not a failure for you, Mom. That's not a failure. That's an opportunity for you to practice. That's training. And I will admit that there's been times where I am so tired that I give up. I give up. You throw that fit, I can't handle it anymore. Just whatever. Just do it. And I give up, and I lose that opportunity to train my child. We're not in this alone. God did not give us children to be a burden. He said they're a blessing. Motherhood's a joy. I want you to have a joy in what you do. I can't give you that joy. The world can't give you that joy. Your kid out of diapers can't give you that joy. Your kid out of your house can't give you that joy. Only Christ can give you that joy. Only Christ can then give you the vision that he had from the beginning of time for you at this point of time. Have you believed that once your kids are grown, then you can really live your life? You know, what you're doing now matters. You have influence here and now. Have you believed if I would just do such and such, and then I'll feel like a good mother? If you still have 8 loads of laundry to sort and dishes to be cleaned at the end of the day, but managed to have joy and reflect Jesus to your family, then you're doing good. You're doing good. There's stages in life. You'll have a clean home one day, and then you'll actually miss some of the messes. Maybe you're trying to handle all the demands of motherhood on your own, and you're tired. Turn it over to God. He wants to carry your struggles and lighten your load. He wants motherhood to be a joy, not a burden. Partner with your husband. Ask a loved one to help. Ask trusted friends to pray. Seek the wise advice of older godly women. What's causing chaos in your hearts today? If your heart's not calm, then you're not going to be able to absorb chaos and create calm and provide hope in your realm of influence. This goes for moms, men in the workplace, college students at school. Our world is full of chaos. God's whispering the same thing to you. Let me take your chaos. Let me take it. Let me create a calm, a knowing. That calm is a knowing. It's a knowing that you are right in his will, that you are doing what you're supposed to do. And let me provide you with hope. Then and only then can you reflect that to the world. I'd like to end with a poem, and I think the worship team's going to come up. Every little baby comes into the world, reaching for an anchor, fingers tightly curled, grasping for a reason without knowing why. We will cling to anything till the day we die. We can hold on to sorrow, hold on to pain. We can hold on to anger when there's nothing to be gained. We can hold to a thread at the end of a rope. But if we hold on to Jesus, we're holding on to hope.